Unique Weirdos, what up? It's Roxy Blue. Big boy. Bitch. Yo. Hey, little daddy, welcome to my show. The name is Roxy Blue, but the green makes me go. I scream to the top, where you lick the bottle. I'm down for the buck, taking shots from the bottle. Here I go again. I thought buddy was frontin' when he came up for some win. I told him I'm a fiend when it comes to the best. I can make it rain, oh daddy, don't test me. So, they call me Little Avatar. I make that word a bend when it comes down to this Danny bar. Put it in your face to make you savor it like candy bars. And if you do it well, I will hand you out a golden star. So, yes, I'm a kinky chick. And when it comes to sexing, I will show you what it is. So get in, Mr. Shrew, cause I'm classy with my shit. I'll be strapping up twice because I don't want that package. Hey, little daddy, welcome to my show. Little red light is on, but it really means go. I scream to the top when you lick the bottom. I'm down for the buck, taking shots from the bottle. Hey, little daddy, welcome to my show. Little red light is on, but it really means go. When you lift the bottle, I'm down for the buck, taking shots from the bottle. Let's roll play, throw a few swings. When I see the green, I become very friendly. Maybe handcuffs, you can be the officer, a better yet a dentist. Money, tattoos, and a whole lot of booze. I'm living life fast, and I'm breaking all the rules. My heart is in the cage, and I threw away the key. My love is past tense, my mask burned to the heat.
My mama's house, damn, I don't think y'all understand. Sometimes I doubt myself like I ain't the man. I leave it up to God, I know he got a plan. But it's moving too slow like a savage jam. LP tell me just be patient, but this shit is slowly killing me, ain't patient. It's like the more time it takes, the more hate. And now my duty is calling for this game, no PlayStation. I tend to ask myself, is this what you want? Then I wait for a reply and I hope it's blunt. To make the people happy, give them what they want. But that don't happen every day like a walk of fun. If you look in my eyes, you'll see what I see. You'll see the struggles, you'll see the robberies. You'll probably see a shootout in broad day. A drug transaction happen right there in your hallway. Yeah, this is life as I see it. Opposite of good, but a lot closer to decent. Some people beg and steal because money they really need it. If they don't survive. So who gon' pay that bereavement? I'm not. Why not? I don't got it. I'm pop, sit down like a bunch of excuses. Exactly what I'm feeling when it comes to this music. Shit, like Nike, just do it. I might not be winning, but I'm certainly not losing. I'm learning from this game and I'm trying to be a recruiter. But my mind goes everywhere, so attention, I start to lose it. I gotta stay focused, stop playing. Make sure the people understand what I'm saying. Make something happen now, homie, stop waiting. If you're ever gonna go from the BX to greatness, I'm just saying.
Yes. I'm sorry, y'all. Hey, everybody. I'm just like, under the weather right now. I'm pretty sure you guys can all hear. And just, you know, trying to keep up. How you doing?
You know, I'm good. I'm chilling. You know, Angel, what's going on? How you living?
I'm doing well. Just been really busy getting projects together.
That's good. Always busy. Oh, man. I just feel so horrible, so horrible, so horrible. I remember when Angel was sick. So, I can't stand it. Black, what's going on? How was your week? Your weekend?
My weekend was cool. You know, got a lot of work done. Did a lot of running around. You know, it was real cool. And had a great pregame radio. You know, so it's always a good thing.
That's good. That's good. Angel, how was your weekend?
Well, so it's been a while since I've been on air. I had a great couple of weeks. My event was a great success. Shout out to all the artists that came out and did their thing. Shout out to all the celebrities I met that Friday prior. It was really fun. I did a lot of networking amongst both events. Five of them really busy trying to get things together with a couple of projects. I got one starting in December and one starting in 2013.
That is great. Yes, I was going to ask you how did the event turn out, and That's really good. That's really good that it became such a success and you got to meet people, and that's what it's all about. And that's cool. And shout out to your projects that are coming out too. December, May, all the good luck and all of that, you know, stirs in the pot when it does unfold. So shout out to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime. My weekend was, it was when I got sick, so it was really sucky. It was sucky, but I plan to have a better week, work, everything. Starting some more classes on the 29th, so just trying to get better so that way I can have energy for the upcoming week and weekend. But, you know, I always like to start off the show by giving thanks and saying hello and saluting the All Barbs movement. If you don't know by now, you need to ask somebody that's affiliated, and they will definitely tell you, or myself or Angel. Shout out to the All Barbs, the ladies that are doing the damn thing. I believe a couple of the girls have been doing big things too. I know one of them got on the master's board at school. I know a couple of them have just been doing a lot of big things, so shout out to the Barb. Shout out to the promoters, too. Evil Monte had a birthday. Shout out to you, and I hope you enjoyed your birthday, and I hope everything was cool, and many, many, many more, and everything that you're doing, that you got going on. So shout out to you, and shout out to everybody that supports the All Barb movement. I know, Angel, you got a couple of shout-outs. I know you network with a lot of different people and different things. So if you care to share your shout-outs.
Well, first I want to say shout-out to the whole movement. Like Nikki said, a lot of the ladies and a lot of the guys are really starting to do their own thing, and I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud of a lot of the movement are getting involved in their community, and they're starting to participate in food drives and walks and charity events, and it makes me very proud that the actual concept of the team is continuing. I'd like to give a shout out to New Level Entertainment. They are my partner and company. I've been on a lot of shows with them and a lot of sponsored events over the past couple of weekends, so it's been a lot of fun. It's always fun to make extra money. Shout out to L Interview tonight at Modest Styles. He's a really cool person. Shout out to the panel, of course. It's always fun to get on here and chop it up with you guys. And just shout out to all the ladies who are the new models of New Entertainment. I will make it out on a Wednesday to see you ladies. I just been really, really busy. And that's really about it.
Yes. And also, I want to say shout out to one of the other promoters at K Continental. I know he was doing his thing, trying to get together. He has a show out, so I want everybody to support each other and just, you know, give his show a listen, support. I know he was supposed to be interviewing somebody. I believe a female, a very important female. I forget her name, but shout out to at Kate Continental. And if you did miss any of his shows, you can check out his archives and get updated with that and just support him with that. So shout out to you. Black, do you have any shout outs that you want to give, like, to anybody, that was on pregame radio? Shout out to Eb.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the pregame radio fam. I also want to give heartfelt condolences to the family of a dear friend of mine, R.J. Brown, who actually passed last weekend. So you're definitely in our prayers and our thoughts. And all the listeners, all of the followers, people who RT the stuff that we put out, people who comment on the stuff, people who like the banter that me and Angel may have on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to everyone who takes time out their day to see what the hell we're doing, and I appreciate you for it.
Most definitely. Me too. Me too. And I want to, before our interviewee gets in the building, Black, you already know, to let us know, I just want to talk about Black, because I know me and you were talking about this earlier, and it goes down to what happened in my borough, so I'm kind of just a little bit upset about the NYPD. According to NYPD in New York City, the police precinct itself bills a family of a dead man $710 to fix the police car that ran him over and killed him. And I remember when the story happened, because I happened to be watching the news that day, and it was crazy because I'm familiar with the area and, you know, just the whole story itself. And then for them to bill the family $710 to fix the police car that ran him over and that was caused by the death, I think that that's really ridiculous. So I know Black, we were talking about this earlier, and how do you feel about that? Because you were the one who kind of, and I heard about it, but you seem to be, like, really shocking for this shit. So, how you feel?
Well, my thing about it is, you know, granted the kid was doing something he had no business doing. He got caught, you know, he ran. But I just think it was real tasteless and real, you know what I'm saying, fucked up the NYPD to send a bill to his mother for the damage done. You know what I'm saying? It's $710. 8 out of 10, NYPD has their own mechanic, which is why you'll never see a damn cop car filling up at a gas station. You know what I'm saying? Because they got their own gas pumps and all that. So for them to charge family $710 for a dent in the car, that's just tasteless and it's thoughtless. You know what I'm saying? It's things like this that there's a reason why people have such negative they feel such a negative way about the police and the government and things like that, because they do stupid shit like that.
Right. And I know you have a little bit more detailed information about what the guy, you know what I'm saying, like more, because the morning news clip was kind of like very short, but it didn't mention, you know, a man in the Bronx killed cop car on such and such street due to suspicious activity, you know what I mean? And I just feel like, right, like you said, the damage is done. I've never heard of that happening in a situation. Like you said, like, the damage is done, the person is not no longer here. So to really bill somebody over the car, police cars are getting flipped, tossed all the time, ran into, shot at, you know what I mean? Do you know exactly what he was doing? And, you know, at that time?
He was actually caught, like, snatching a purse or snatching someone's phone or something like that. And the cop of the car saw him and, you know, gave chase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after he was calling it in, cop went, you know, kept, and, you know, I don't think it was intentional that he went to hit the kid, but he was pretty much, like I said, caught doing something he wasn't supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And he, you know, tried to run, and next thing you know, the kid is dead. You know, the cop, you know, hit him, ran over him. And next you know, his mother's getting a bill. And mind you, this happened back in April, so they're sending the bill months after the fact with, you know, the family's still grieving over this. You know what I'm saying? They're still grieving. You know, he might have a birthday that recently passed, and a summer went by without him there. You know, so they're still pretty much getting over, not getting over, but getting, trying to get through it. And they get hit with a bill like this. Of course, Commissioner Ray Kelly was unavailable for comment. NYPD spokesperson unavailable for comment, but someone else from the NYPD said, "Oh, we're looking into this to the situation, and we'll investigate it, and it will be resolved as soon as possible." Blah blah blah, which means they're gonna try to brush her under the rug and tell her instead of giving her $710, give her $650 or some BS like that. But that's just me.
I just think that's, you know, really. That's going to be Angel. How do you feel about that, you know, occurring after, you know, this kid is killed and the police, you know, establishment, they're sending the family a bill due to damages of the car. The car that, you know what I'm saying, that killed this person.
I think it's just sad. I mean, when you just look at, like, the whole political portion of the police department now. You just have them killing people for no reason. I know a couple of weeks ago in Colorado, a police officer shot and killed a handicapped man. Like, he was handicapped. So, I mean, it's just getting out of control, and the public needs to just stand up. What about all the times that police officers are in pursuit and they run into your car? I've had that happen several times. I've seen it happen when they've done property damage to people's, you know, vehicles or their homes while they were in chase. They don't replace it. So why should a person who's grieving, because they didn't have to hit him with the car, you know, they didn't have to do that. I just think it's ridiculous. I think that's why it's important that people in the community stand up for things like that, and they make sure that the right deputies are in office and things of that nature, because it happens every day. Like I said, you know, they're shooting people for no apparent reason. They're killing kids for no apparent reason. If they think you have a gun, they, you know, they're going to shoot you first, ask questions later. It's just becoming a habit, and it makes it really hard to trust them. You know, I know when I was younger, it was, you can go and talk to a police officer about anything. I dare myself to go ask a police officer anything now, because you never know what they have under their belt now. A lot of them are those macho people that that grew up getting picked on, and they got a gun in the badge now, so they frame it's a tough guy. I think it's ludicrous. I think their mom needs to, you know, that particular situation needs to be addressed publicly. I don't think she needs, that parent needs to push it under the rug, because, like I said, the police department as a whole is just getting over with a lot, and they're just not doing their job. And that's all I have to say about that.
I think, and I agree with you 100%. And like you said, again, like, I grew up the same way, you know. Yeah, you know, when you see something going on or call the police or run up to an officer when, you know, something's going on. But nowadays, you just can't do that. You know what I mean? Because I've had it, I know, I had a friend who, you know, she was speeding kind of past a stop sign. She was aware. She got pulled over, so she didn't really make a big issue. She just got all her information together because she knew she was late for work, so she already knew she was, you know, going over the limit. Plus, she didn't really stop at the stop sign, and she didn't see the cop, but she wasn't going to argue nothing. And because this cop was a jerk, and he just really, you know, tried to give her options, like, look, I won't give you this ticket if you give me a number. And I think stuff like that should be, you know, and in her situation, she just felt like, who can I tell? Because I don't think that this would go anywhere. You know what I mean? And I don't think it would either. But, I mean, just to say, like, yeah, nowadays there are types of cops. They got, like you said, they've been picked on all their whole life. And now it's just like, I got a badge, I got a taser, I got a gun, I have a uniform. Fuck it, I'm bad. But, like, now I'm about to get back at
so-and-so and whatever, or not utilize what being a cop is and for the good of it and for the community just to be tough and to look like something. And I think that that's really outrageous. And another, and while we're talking about kids and, you know, dying in Ohio, I don't know who's, you know, tuning in or any of my followers that are paying attention. I don't know if any of them are you guys from Ohio. But in Ohio, a 16-year-old girl is dead after a fight with another girl over, you know, this girl passing gas, like over the girl passing gas. And adults watched instead of breaking it up. And according to a 911 caller that called into Warrensville Heights Police Station, at the end of my driveway, it is some kids fighting, and there's adults just there watching. I think that that's, you know, that's crazy. And according to KAIT-TV, a group of adults, including the stepfather of the victim, the victim's name is Shakara Dorsey, they watched the two teens go at it in Warrensville Heights after Shakara teased the other girl for passing gas. Nobody, the stepfather said eventually he stopped the brawl, but the girl collapsed and she was rushed to the local hospital where she was pronounced dead. And now this person is, she has to, like, she's charged with murder. And she makes her first juvenile court appearance on Wednesday.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God. Like, I just, that's crazy. This 16, you know, they're having a fight. Not only, what just makes it more sick to me is that there were adults there watching instead of breaking it up. And the somebody's dead over a passing gas. Something that's natural, something that the other person does all the time, and I think that that's really crazy. And now this, 16-year-old is being charged with murder over a fight. Angel, like, I know you say that that's horrible, that's crazy. Like, what do you have to say about, with just, you know, the incident itself?
I mean, that's really, not really to say funny, but that's really, you know, ironic that you mentioned a situation like that, because I was just listening to something on KRS the other day where the guy was referring to bullying and how kids are used to being, like, them fighting and, like, you know, people are just carrying them. I just think it's sad, and the saddest part about it, those teenagers are what we have to look forward to of being the future adults. So it's like, you know, our kids that we have, I'm a mom, I have two small children, I have to work extra hard, you know, to discipline and to create role models so that they can undo the damage that is going to be done, you know, in the generation after us. It is really sad. It's really sad that those step parents, regardless of who was a stepdad or whoever he was, that he did not stop that, because nowadays you can hit your head slightly and die hours later. You know, head injuries are the number one cause of death in a lot of athletes and a lot of kids, period, you know. It's just sad that our generation, as far as parents, are still very immature. And I'm not speaking for the parents who do, you know, their job, and our parents who do their job, but it's really sad that we still have some baby boomers that still act like babies and that allow these kids to fight. And it's like, I'm so sorry for the kids right now. It's like you kind of want to homeschool your child. Like, you kind of want to keep them sheltered from the riffraff. You know, I'm going to take Dammy up from school, and these are, like, elementary school kids cursing and talking about, you know.
I get disgusted.
Like, what?
I get disgusted.
And she should, and in my opinion, she should not be charged as a juvenile. She should be charged as an adult, because she knew what she was, you know, they were fighting. That was an act of violence. That was an act with intent to hurt someone. And she
right.
was charged as an adult, you know. And because if she gets charged as a juvenile, depending on how much weight they have, it'll be under threat when she's 21, and she can have a normal life while this other young lady is dead, and her parents can remember this for the rest of their life. It is ridiculous, you know, and adults need to take a stand. It's not funny. It's not cute, you know, because that could have been your sister or your child.
I definitely do agree. And I feel for both families, you know, of course, especially first and foremost, the victim's, you know, family. They lost, you know, and the girl, she was nice, she was good, she was, you know, involved in many different things and a junior and, you know, trying to, you know, graduate and just accomplish certain things, you know, especially in her area and where she was at and pretty beautiful young girl. But at the same time, like, the family for the girl who killed this individual, like, I just as a mother, just to sit there and know that my child is being charged with murder because she had a fight. She walked out my house this morning, went to school, had a fight, and ended up killing another girl over something so stupid. So stupid. You know what I mean? And it would just hurt my heart because, you know, kids, they're taught to, some kids are taught to fight back, especially if somebody's picking on them and stuff. But like you said, one single hit, one blow to the head sometimes, that's all it takes is one hit, one shot, one stab wound, one anything to physically harm a person or persons. You know what I mean? Like, it really does take, like, just one time. So I just feel like, you know, for those who do encourage their kids to fight back, they need to also, you know, there's different ways of fighting back in certain situations. You know, yes, we all are prepared for, you know, either sometimes some of our kids, they go through high school, they go through life, and they're not really picked on due to them, you know, having their own personality and standing up for themselves and not doing it in a way to where they're always in drama or trouble. But then you have some kids that, you know, go through life and they are bullied and they are put down. And after a while, you know, you as a parent, you're not there with your kids in school to say anything or to speak up for your child. So you tell your child, like, look, the next time they do that to you, this is what you do. And this is what you do. And you make sure you do this and, like, or you hit them there or tell them this. Or if a person hits you, like, there's different ways of fighting back. And there's many different ways, and it's just really sad to me that, and I just I always go back to the age, 16. That's really young. It's really young. Black. What do you think about that? Excuse me, that situation.
I think it's a real crazy situation. We'll have to, you know, come back to it because our featured interview of the night is in the building.
So yeah, so as always, tonight is always Miss Angela of Sweets, a.k.a. Boss Vibes. It's her night, Tuesday night, and you already know Miss Vibes whenever you are ready.
All right. Well, tonight on All Vibes Radio, we have Miss Valerie Laura Lee, also known as Modest Style. She's a Los Angeles-based designer. Is she in the building?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm good.
I'm doing okay, a little bit under the weather, but I'm here, excited.
Well, welcome to the panel. You're speaking with Miss Angel Love Tweet. We have Miss Nikki on the panel and Mr. Brooklyn Black. So welcome to All Bugs Radio. Thank you for taking your time to, you know, get to know us and have the listeners get to know you. So I'm going to let you pretty much introduce yourself again and let the people know who you are and what it is that you do.
Okay, well, I'm the CEO of, you know, as you said, Modest Styles. My name is Valerie Laura. I've established my business in May. So I've been doing this officially since May, and, you know, that's pretty much what I've done. I've been designing for, you know, celebrities. You know, I have my website and everything, so... But that's pretty much what I do.
Okay. Would you like to briefly give the website address out just in case, you know, someone who's listening may want to go on and check it out while they're listening to the interview?
Yeah, my website is modiststyles.com. You can follow me on Twitter also at modiststyles, and I'm on Instagram also at modiststyles. So you know, can see all of my work on all of those three arenas.
Okay, so you mentioned that you have designed some pieces for some celebrities. I would love to know exactly, if you can, a few celebrities that have either bought your items or you have designed for.
Okay. The first celebrity I designed for was Shauna, the rapper, formerly of Disturbing the Peace Records. She just recently dropped a mixtape. I did, you know, some pieces for her. I've done pieces for Renee Graziano on Mob Wives. You should be getting those any minute now. You know, I've done pieces for Brooke Bailey on Basketball Wives, L.A. So I'm kind of just, like, all over the place with, you know, who I've done stuff for.
That's great. So I want to know, what is the most popular item that you sell? Like, what is the one, if I had to come to Los Angeles and I walk into your shop, what would you sell me? What do I have to buy?
I think the thing that, the pieces that are selling the most are the earrings, because I do have, you know, bracelets. I'm adding necklaces to my website also, but the earrings, they're really selling fast. You know, the big Gaudi earrings, they're, you know, they're big statement pieces. So probably the earrings.
Okay, cool. I love earrings. All my earrings are always dandy and weird.
I know.
explain to the listeners about how being a young woman and running her own business have affected you on a personal level, or may not have affected you on a personal level.
I mean, I think it's definitely very liberating, you know, to be running your own business, making your own money. So that's a good aspect of it. The downside is it's taking up a lot of my time. So as far as personal life, that kind of went out the window for, you know, a month or so. But other than that, I think it's great, you know, to be a female entrepreneur and young is just, you know, the possibilities are endless. So, I mean, I think it's great.
I definitely agree. And, you know, it's women like you and other women who have their own businesses that need to, you know, stand out more and represent more to let the other people know that it's other things that are out here than just acting ratchet. That's all I can say. So I commend you. I commend you on, you know, taking a step out and running your own business and running it well. When did you first decide into getting into designing jewelry?
Well, I actually went to school for fashion design and marketing, and I had been making my own jewelry for myself for years. So, you know, a few months ago, I was like, you know, why don't I just make it a business? I was, you know, because I was doing stuff, custom pieces for people. So I said, let me just make it a business and see where it goes, and it kind of just took off. So
that's great. And my last question before I let you have the floor with any shout-outs, I want to just do a little role play really quick. So I'm a young woman, and I'm coming to you for advice. I want to start my own business. I really don't know where to go or what to do. What advice would you give someone like me?
The first thing I would say to do is find something that you're passionate about before you start your business. Whatever you feel you're good at, whatever you feel that you can make residual income off of, you know, I would recommend starting it from that. Writing everything down, you know, goals, step one, step two, first thing you should do is do those things. And then after that, you can, you know, go into, find a graphic designer for logos and all of that, kind of start building your brand. So, and then just promote, you know, from there.
Thank you. Well, before I let you go, I again want to say thank you for all my listeners. If you missed it, this was a very talented and beautiful Miss Valerie Laura Lee, a.k.a. at Modern Styles. Do you have any shout-outs that you want to give?
Let me see. Let me give a shout-out to my parents, you know, of course. That's pretty much it. All my girls out there, everybody following me on Twitter. all my girls on Instagram, all my customers, my clients. So.
Awesome. So, Nikki, do you have any questions for Miss Valerie?
Yes. First and foremost, I just want to say, excuse how I sound. I know I sound all stuffy, but thank you again for sharing your business and what you do on All Bob's Radio with Angel. The interview was so cool, so dope. You guys connected so well, and I'm just eager to see some of your pieces because I'm into jewelry and all of that and fashion just as much as you guys are. So I want to see something. And my question to you is, where do you see yourself in like the next 5-10 years? Like, do you see yourself still on the road, traveling, you know, making custom pieces for different people, or do you see yourself like with the big shop? Yourself?
5 years from now, let's see. I definitely think I'm going to expand my business to other things. I'm, you know, getting ready to launch my nail polish line. I have a lingerie line that I'm, you know, creating also right now. So I think, you know, I'm going to be focused on my business. Of course, my family is always going to be first. Traveling also. Love to travel. You know, that's about it. Just living life.
That's great. Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you, Angel. Like I said, you know, I think the interview was so dope. Y'all got connected really well. Great advice.
How are we doing? Y'all always forget the black guy, I'm saying.
No, I was just talking to Angel and, you know, talking about the interview.
I wanted to know, what type of accessories you could drop for the fellas.
You know what? Everybody's asking me that. I don't have nothing for the guys yet. You know, you know, of course I will be adding a men's extension, you know, to the collection and everything. I haven't even started any of those designs because that's going to be a completely different realm for me. I'm, you know, used to doing female accessories, but I got to get something for the guys also.
We would appreciate it, I'm saying.
Yeah. I guess Black, you know what she does. She'll let you know. That's why it's important to follow her. You know, you got to go follow her so that way when she does put out some guy pieces, you'll know. And you can be on that at my style. So don't forget it. I tweeted it already, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day. Again,
no
like
problem.
I said, to me it's very important that females who are doing things positive with themselves get an opportunity to share their business or what it is that they're doing. And, of course, everyone knows that jewelry and fashion lives in the hip-hop world. So I thank you again.
Right.
If anyone wants to revisit this interview, they can hit me up and go to my blog. And all her information is there, a beautiful picture of her is there, and the link to this interview. And if no one else has anything else to say, I wish you a great night.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. You guys are definitely blocking out on All Bob's Radio, and you guys, if you just tuned in, you definitely just missed a really good interview. But you guys can definitely, like, go to the website itself, check out the archives, go on Angel's blog, it's been created to see who she just interviewed and find out more information and get the show, the playback. So, Black, whenever you're ready, I would like to go into another commercial break. And then, I did not forget, I wanted to get your input on the story really quickly, only because I have one more thing to say about the 16-year-old.
I have to get some
too. I really do. So, after this commercial break, we can all get back to it. And whenever you're ready.
Let's do it.
That R&B music, sing rhythm and blues, is rapping blues. Follow me, y'all. Single, I feel as free as a flying bird. I'm on the prowl, no bitch is safe, you can mark my words. I seen the good and bad and ugly when we go to war. Only time I felt you vulnerable when you on all four. Break up to make up, you're a natural beauty. Why kick your face up with makeup? You use the mask, your pain, you say every time we fight you hurt. I mean no harm, I'm only fighting just to make us work. Keeping you happy is a full-time job. Then the Great Depression hit at times never seemed hard. Do I ever cross your mind as half as much as you cross mine? If not, then where's my place? Just a nigga in the long line of niggas. 6 years, I deserved more. I don't cuff hoes, I fuck them up, but then they turn whores. Or maybe I ain't know what I was dealing with. I turned the sweetest girl in the world into a bitter bitch. Sugar to shit. I congratulate the new nigga that you with. I can't lie, that shit hurt, nigga. I'm better off dead on the shitter, like Elvis Presley. Maybe you come around with my head. Finally, where's the crown? I told you that I'd do this. You didn't see this all going down. Other than that, you say I'm too pessimistic. Does anything be optimistic about? I must have missed it. Listen. I done made my last pitch. I kissed the game goodbye. The kiss of death was my last kiss. I got your new man hanging on to every word. Couldn't even get you to listen to my own turn. Now you wish you were the place safe. And the player red is one thing that this player hates. All I ask is when you see me, you keep it trucking. You think you found remorse, so no boy, you found nothing. Get dirt. When I did my dirt, I can't lie, I know that shit hurt. When you did your dirt, yeah, bitch, you know that shit hurt. To the point of no return, there's no way we can make this work. They say it's never over till we both need closure. I can't feel that moment getting any closer. You were the gun to my holster. You wanna know why? You left your mark with a bang. Let's make love, not war. Either way you want it, girl, you leaving here with a stain. Feel like it's me against the world, but with you by my side, the world is going against the grain. So say goodbye to the bad guy. At least that's what you made me out to be. But you did your fair share of dirt. But you said that dirt don't amount to me. You fucking dirty bitch. Don't fucking so-called cuss. Have to be caught and looking kissed by that nigga. I'm down laughing at that shit. I'm lying if I said I was. No pain, no gain, right? You are my sacrificial lamb. Over your head like a hovercraft. Do what you'll understand then. I will still throw them numbers at the garden. This is history in the making. You just gotta fuck the way of being part of it.
Tommy a young nigga with aspirations of thugging. Gina a good girl, they met up through Tommy's cousin. Love at first sight? Nah, it was quite the opposite. He hit the first night, she got pregnant and he fathered it. Gina had a scholarship, now she can't accept it, so she went and found a job. Tommy can't, he got a record. Her household is hectic. Gina mama disappointed, but she never turned her back. She said her baby girl anointed. Tommy house worse, he never knew his dad. His mama on them drugs, the streets is all he ever had. He looked up to the sky like, what the hell I'm supposed to do? I just want the hit, I ain't mean for us to reproduce. Gina second guessing on getting a baby aborted. Tommy in the streets, to him she think it's unimportant. They know they can't afford it, but something gotta give. Both scared about the future, but they want their kid to live. Yeah, tough times call for tough decisions, but never let quit be your disposition. Nah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live. And I'ma keep living. And I'ma keep living. Yeah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live. Ricky the biggest dealer on the block, kingpin. Devin his little brother, they got the same mother. Both got different fathers, but to them it don't matter. Ricky at the top, Devin climbing the same ladder. Dudes across town got a problem, you know how haters get. See Ricky shining, they plotting on how they taking it. So they set him up, said they got wife for the low. Long way from his hood, but Rick gon' ride for the snow. Devin wanted to go, but he already made plans, not knowing that he won't see his big brother again. Simple choice made, impacted his whole life. Ricky found dead on the corner of 39th. Devin like, damn, I should go retaliate. Rick was his right hand, but he got a baby on the way. He don't wanna see with no pops 'cause of rocks. Should he risk go getting shot or possibly getting locked? Nah, yeah. Tough times call for tough decisions, but never let quit be your disposition. Nah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live. And I'ma keep living. And I'ma keep living. Yeah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live. Keisha got two kids, her baby daddy a joke. Ain't seen him in 2 years, all he wanna do is smoke. She on that single mother grind, school and work full time. Fighting the landlord 'cause her rent always behind. She keep pushing, but she might as well be standing still. She start hooking, that's the only way she pay her bill. She got a pimp, and that nigga named Charles. Most of his life behind bars, treat his women like dogs. He should take it, 'cause she just looking for love. Thinking that's the price you pay when you get involved with a thug. That nigga get wild, her and the kids, he beat him. Saying that he gon' kill her if she ever try to leave him. Keisha so confused, she knows she wanna run, but nowhere to run to, so she back at square one. Wish she had wings, she just wanna fly, but she can't, life hard, so she just wanna die. Yeah, tough times call for tough decisions, but never let quit be your disposition. Nah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live. And I'ma keep living. And I'ma keep living. Yeah, 'cause something gotta give. When it come to life, the hardest thing to do is live.
Yes, you're definitely tuning in to All Vibes Radio with me, your host, Nikki Vibes. And we got Angel Love Sweets in the building, the co-host, a.k.a. Boss Vibes. And we definitely have Brooklyn Black holding it down, pregame radio. Yes, Angel, I know you have something that you want to announce, so I'm going to let you say it before we get back to Black. So go ahead.
Yeah, I have just a brief couple of things. Number one, I just received something through my email. If there are any artists that are interested in the Unsigned Artist Tour, please follow me and get more information. They are currently holding open auditions for that. So if you're an artist and would like to get on that tour, please hit me up and I will get you the information. Also, tomorrow, the KTE Divas, which is my partner and company, will be doing the open call model search again. We do it every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and we do photo shoots on Saturdays. So if you're a model in the DMV area and you would like to come out and try to join the company as an active model, come out. Make sure you have your headshots ready and your profile and things of that nature, because a lot of girls come out on Wednesday night. And also, I am still taking tracks for my project that launches in December. And if you want more information, just hit me up and follow me on Twitter for additional information as far as that's concerned. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. So, Black, do you want to, and yeah, make sure everybody hits up Angel if you are in these areas and if it's pertaining to you and if it's something that you want to get involved in or do. So, Black, I want you to go ahead and give me your insight on what I was just talking about earlier as far as a 16-year-old girl.
All right. Here's my thing about it. Granted, you know, no one wants, you know, everyone, they teach their kids, you know, defend yourself, X, Y, Z, yada, yada. But at the same time, we got to teach these kids, yo, there's a time to fight. There's a time to walk away. Like, the time you really need to fight is when you need to really protect yourself or those you love. I mean, you don't need to fight because some girl teased you because you fought. Like, yo, everybody fought. Like, somebody's fought is worse than the other, but, you know what I'm saying, it is what it is. Everybody does. If you don't fart, you die. You know what I mean? Now, as far as all of the adults that stand there watching the shit, like, come on, like, it's one thing if there was a crowd of school kids and you couldn't get through to the school kids, you know, you had to push this aside and then get to the fight, understandable. But if you guys are the main spectators, you need your asses beat. You know what I'm saying? And I would say even the stepfather should probably be brought up on endangering the welfare of a minor child because he sat there and let the shit happen.
I agree.
Yeah, it was told that he actually brought his daughter to the stepfather, brought the girl to the place where, you know, the fight took place because she was, you know, irate about just something and she had to go over here and he didn't want to, you know, have anything happen. So he followed her, he brought her to see what was going on. And then I guess in the motion of the action, she just stood there and watched along with other adults at the end of somebody's driveway. So, like Black said, I just encourage the parents to live other ways. And Angel, I know that, you know, you're a teacher by nature. What are some of the ways, if you could just give some examples of different ways of, you know, fighting back besides actually violence, you know, can you share some things that you probably tell your kids that you teach besides hitting
Well, first I want to say something that you said earlier when you said that you give condolences to the young lady's mom who's dealing with her daughter being prosecuted. You know, I just want to say a lot of times when kids are a product of their environment, so definitely, you know, you have to reach out to the parent because a lot of times the parents are ignorant and they think that that's the best way to teach their child how to handle the situation because that's
right.
How they act out in public. They fight, they curse, they carry on and act out. So, you know, a lot of times, and I've seen that firsthand with relatives of mine who are teenagers and their mom who's raising them acts just as bad as a teenager. You know, so with a situation like that, it's kind of like I don't feel sympathy for the mom or the daughter because she's only a product of her environment.
Right.
So what I try to teach the little ones that I teach, I try to teach that you use your words and you express yourself. But it's kind of different for the high school level because touching on what Black said, you know, the whole fight situation, you know, a lot of times when things like that happen, the child who's being beat on really has no choice but to defend themselves. Because you have to understand, when those schoolyard fights happen, they circle them around. They make sure that no one leaves unless they want them to leave. I've seen it plenty of times in high school myself, you know. You just got to teach your kids to not care, you know, just to not care and, you know, to speak out. Because we've seen it over and over and over again with Columbine and with a lot of other school shootings. It's just a repeatedly thing, and, you know, once it explodes to an incident like this and someone dies, then everybody wants to be involved. Everybody wants to, you know, have something to say. Promise that my dad, he's a police officer, and he works at the hospital at nighttime doing, like, cop security. And I remember one day he told me that a young girl, she was, like, 9, was in there because she was having some kind of psychological problems, but she really wasn't. What happened was she was getting picked on in school. And she kept telling everybody this particular child was picking on her. So when she finally acted out, they arrested her. You know, it's just an imbalancement all the way around, you know. It's just an imbalancement. And it's just like being a teacher, you can't really overstep your boundaries for so much, unfortunately. So I just encourage people who are around those type of environments, you know, like the one lady you said called the police. I want to know when did the police come? Did they ever come? Because a lot of times that's as much as you can be is call the police. Because a lot of these, I don't know if you've seen them, but a lot of these kids around my way, they look like grown people. You know, like they're more bigger than me, built than me. And I'm not about to jump into the middle of these 16-year-olds fighting, you know, because I might wind up getting hurt. And it is really a sad situation that the bullying is extending even further than high school, you know, with the hazing in colleges. It's just terrible. It's just, you know, we really as adults and as leaders in our community have to really step up and do something about it because we're going to lose a lot of young people as time goes on because it is escalating. The violence in school is escalating, and it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
It's already happening. It's like there's more younger people that are dying nowadays than there are older people over things like natural causes of death. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Such thing because too old or, you know what I'm saying, just having your sicknesses and X, Y, and Z. No, there's kids getting shot because they have hoodies on, they're in a community. You know, you have kids that are getting shot just going to the store just to get something. It's just got kids getting, you know, violated. Like, I've seen, you know, I have a younger cousin who was in high school. She's actually a junior as well. And she's not a bully, but what I do notice about my cousin is that she's very mean. Like, she's a mean streak. So if you mess with her, 9 times out of 10, I know she can fight, but she's not a fighter, but she's more so mouthy. So she'll tell you what she want to tell you with her mouth. And she happened to have shown me a YouTube video of this one girl, I guess a girl that they know, getting, when I tell you violated, in the bathroom of this high school, getting, like, tossed around, thrown up against stalls. It looked like a WWE match in that bathroom. You got hard things that she's getting her head knocked into. You got the dirty, pissy floor that she's getting dragged across, and everybody's laughing or everybody's voting for whoever. Get up, you know, or talking to the other girl, beat her up, and it was just so disgusting. And they put these videos up, get all these views, I guess get the status of being, I guess, some type of, like, bully or some type of that being that bitch, quote-unquote. You know, like, it's just, it really has to stop because it's just it's so horrible. My condolences go out to the mother as well because it would just hurt me to know that my 16-year-old daughter, like I said again, left my house that morning, you know what I mean, and went to school, whether or not she went to class or not or whether she was in class or not, but just when she was supposed to come home, she ended up fighting with somebody and killing her and now she may not ever come home ever again. That's the, it's unfair to the mother, but yes, you, like Angel said, about being a product of your environment, because yes, I've seen it. I've seen older women that live, you know, in certain areas, in certain projects, and they follow behind, you know, their mom, or they follow behind whoever's in the household, and their mother, they were known as, like, yeah, don't mess with Miss J. Miss J, she holds shit down in this project. Like, yeah, she's older, she got 4 or 5 kids, but Miss J is gangster. Like, I've seen parents like that that portray, like, you know, whether or not, like, I'm an adult, but I still get it in, and their kids follow behind that. They feel like, oh, I got to keep up the legacy. I got to, my mother's tough. I got to be tough. And, yeah, violence is, like, their answer, because they know that 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10 that they're not going to get in trouble, even if they are getting arrested for fighting or beating somebody up. So I just keep talking to your kids seriously about just, like, yeah, if somebody's bothering you, somebody is doing something, just, like, tell them, encourage them to talk to you before they just go swinging, or before they, that morning, before they leave to go to school, put one of their baseball bats got them last Christmas in their bag and go to school and start swinging. And now your child just end up getting arrested or getting charged with murder because they swung the bat too hard and it hit another kid in the head a certain type of way and it killed them off instant. And, you know, now this kid is dead. It's crazy. But, yes, also, too, it's about to be Halloween, and, you know, I wanted to partake in it this year. I know last year I just got my daughter, you know, I bought her a costume, and she's young, and she's involved, and usually for school, the school that she's in, they don't like them just to get any costume. Like, they kind of encourage them to dress up as something career, like maybe a police officer, a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, or, you know, things of that nature. And so I have to always end up getting her, too, because she's like, I don't want to be a nurse when I go trick-or-treating. But, you know, parents, if you are going to take your kids trick-or-treating, I just feel like you need to, you know, there's definitely safety rules on trick-or-treating. And, like, the first rule that I always try to encourage, because, you know, everybody's different, everybody's parents different, but younger kids, I believe that there should be an adult with the kids that's going out. I always recommend when you have younger children, try to go, you know, before the streetlights come on, when it's still kind of daytime, where you can kind of monitor and see everything, and before the older kids start coming out and, you know, the tricks and everything else like that. Also, if you have multiple kids, there should be at least 2 or 3 adults, parents, with everybody. So that way it's just easier for everybody to keep an eye on the kids that are with them. You know, sometimes you have your kids that are independent. They like to walk. They like to, you know, they like to just go on their own. They're excited. If you have those type of kids, make sure that they have a buddy. As well as, too, if you have the older kids that are older teenagers that are, you know, that do participate in Halloween and the spirit and go trick-or-treating or go outside, you know, make sure that they have either a cell phone or your cell phone, so that way you can kind of keep up with them throughout the night before they come home. And just always, too, remember when you get the candy, check it first, because I've done witness parents taking their kids trick-or-treating, and as they're getting candy from the houses, they're letting the kids eat candy right out the bag, and not even just checking it or nothing like that. They're just letting them eat candy. So just a little reminder, because my kid is so excited about going trick-or-treating this year. Angel, are you taking your kids trick-or-treating?
Well, what I do with my kids, because my daughter, she's 5, and my son, he's 3, I usually take them to parties.
Right.
They usually have parties at their schools, and then someone in the family throws, like, a really big party, or someone in my community throws a really big party. So this year, my mom is actually throwing a really big party for the kids at the community center. So Bambi and Little Deej will be attending that, and they've already decided what they're going to be. Like, DJ is so excited. He wants to be Spider-Man / Superman, so I don't know how I'm going to pull that off. But it's going to work, and Bambi wants to be, of course, a princess. But, yes, I will definitely piggyback on what you said. Yes, please be careful. I just want to add a couple additional things that I felt is very helpful if you're going to take your kids trick-or-treating. Be involved with the school system, because I know for my daughter's school, they have a chart which lets them know what is candy and what is drugs. And it shows the similarities between the two. You know, go over those type of things with your children. You know, let them see that different pieces of candy shouldn't have different symbols on it. Create zones. It shouldn't be a good idea for your child to go outside of the neighborhood, because 9 times out of 10, you're not familiar with those people that are not in your neighborhood or your circle, or however your area is formed. Create a time frame. For them to come back. So if you're going to let your teenagers take them, you know, your little ones, say, okay, well, it's an hour from now, I want you to come check in. Because like Nikki said, even though they're your neighbors, 9 times out of 10 with busy parents, you really don't know your neighbors. So
right.
Cautious, check the candy. Like me, the 1 year I took baby trick-or-treating, I threw all her candy away and I bought her new candy. She never even knew. I let them fill her little bucket up, and then I said, you can't have it for tomorrow. When she went to sleep, I threw it all away, and I already had other candy that I bought myself, and I gave it up, because I've heard so many different horror stories about candy having things in it, and, you know, you just don't want to be a statistic. You don't want your child getting sick. And, of course, because I'm a teacher by nature, please make sure your kids take care of their teeth afterwards. Please, that's a lot of sugar, a lot of candy, and I know you don't want to have high dental bills after the fact. But Halloween is about having fun. I wish everyone a safe time if they're going to go out. Just try to be safe and keep your kids safe.
Yes, I definitely do agree. And also, too, parents, make sure when you do buy your child the costume, that the costume fits. You know what I'm saying? Because I've also seen, too, cases where children, like I said again, they're little, they're young, they get excited, and they want to go run up to this house with this person, and next thing you know, they're tripping, they're busting out teeth before they can even get to the candy, because they're running, and because their costume is too long, or, you know, just make sure that, because, like I said again, I've seen little kids bust their asses, trying to keep up, or trying to walk, and trying to be Cinderella. And because they didn't get in their size, they put the next size up, but it's still kind of long, draping. Also, too, yes, like, try not to also take things that are, like, open snacks, like brownies or shit like that. Like, I wouldn't recommend that. And I know that I have a neighbor that always bakes Halloween cookies, and I never understood why she bakes cookies instead of buying candy. But she always gives those out. I never, being her neighbor all this time, I've never ate any of her cookies. She's not to say she's a bad woman and that she would do anything, but I just wouldn't give out things that are open, exposed, that everybody probably put their hands on already trying to pick which one they want. But also be careful with that, too, because you do have somebody that's crazy enough to slip a roofie in and try to figure out which kid is the news from bugging out over a brownie. So, Black, I have a question.
What's up?
I know, you know, you don't have any kids yourself, but you have a lot of nieces and nephews. Are you going trick-or-treating this year?
You know what? I was talking about it. I just might, you know, and the one thing I want to say to all the parents and anybody who's going out with the little ones doing trick-or-treating and getting costumes and stuff, yo, let's be for real. I understand, you know, Halloween's the time to dress up and make pretend and be who you want to be, but I swear, I will lose my mind if I see a little girl going as Nicki Minaj for Halloween, or some little boy going out as Lil Wayne with zebra print leggings and written on tattoos and shit.
Oh, know? My gosh. Well, be prepared for it, though. Be prepared for it, though, because you know somebody out there is going to do that, and they're going to
taken up and just like, oh, look a little Ray Ray and Bree. This Halloween. Wow.
No, don't tell the truth, y'all.
Huh?
You know, if you're gonna have your kids, you know what I'm saying? If you're gonna have your kids portraying somebody, at least let it be somebody of some substance. You know what I'm saying? Let them portray Malcolm X. Let them portray, hell, let the girls be Michelle Obama. You know what I'm saying?
Michelle Obama is a great person to be, but you're going to have to get, like, jazzed up. These little girls going to have wigs, like little bob wigs. Michelle Obama, she be cleaning up nice every time I see her. But I agree with you, Black. You know what's so funny? Like, I'm telling you, you're going to have the little girls or, you know, I believe, like, I would see a lot of Nicki Minaj. Like, I love the gay community. I love y'all. Love y'all. Support all day, every day. But I figured, like, it was going to be, like, a lot of, you know, gay dudes. See a lot of them more so as Nicki Minaj, so they could dress up with the whole fake padded bras and the fake buds and the body suits and the colorful hair, you know. But I'm pretty sure there is gonna be a little girl with a long pink wig. Her mom's gonna be like, "This is Nicki Minaj, 2012 Halloween."
I'm sorry, that's not cool, and also. I have to agree with Angel 200% about, yo, check in the kids' candy, yo. Check the candy, check the snacks. Because there was even instances where people were somehow slipping razor blades in the shit because they know kids just open it and take a bite out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you fuck around, your kids take one of them candy, let you know they slip their own soap from the inside. So definitely, we got to... You know, we have to pay attention, especially those who live in the hood, five boroughs. You know, we let our kids go to the corner stores, you know, and get candy. And, you know, the niggas at the corner store, they get free candy, which is the candy that don't sell, that's been sitting in the bin for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
So you got to check that. You know, you definitely have to check what they're taking, who they're taking it from. You know what I'm saying? Me, personally, I would be in an area that I know. Now, so I'm not going to take my kid all the way over here because it's a nice neighborhood. Hell, I know the hood.
Yeah, like, but parents do, though. They like, you know what? Chill. You're not, you know, I'm going to take you to, you know, a nicer neighborhood, you know, because they feel like when you go to a nice neighborhood, like, you know, it's nice. Nobody's out to get you. You know, it's peaceful. It's cool. I mean, but, duh, think about it. If you're thinking that way, think how many other people are thinking that. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to go. And now they know, like, yeah, I'm about to go shake it up over here because it's a nice area. And nobody's expecting that.
And I want to say a lot of pedophiles live in the uppity community. So you definitely have to be prepared. Because trust me, if you have a child molester in the hood, then his ass ain't going to last.
No, but you know what's so crazy? That's a really good, that's a valid point. Because there are websites where you could go and you could check to see, you know, they like these pedophiles, these child molesters, they're supposed to be registered, you know, once they're caught and once they're convicted and, you know, they're supposed to be registered. And they will tell you, they will give out information as far as, you know, where this person lives. And you can see if they are in your area. Like, you could seriously see if they're in the area so that, you know, maybe you probably would, like, want to avoid going to that house and maybe in that area because, you know, you never know. This dude, he can be dressing up as, you know, as a character and just all different things. Like I said, again, you have the kids that go out by themselves, and their, you know, parents say, okay, well, by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, you know, be back home and they get to go with their friends and stuff like that. Make sure they have a cell phone or something. Even if you don't have one for them because they're just that rebellious child that you don't think deserves anything right now. But if you're going to allow them to go outside, at least give them yours, somebody's cell phone, because these things can really happen. I think, a lot of crazy things happen on Halloween only because, you know, everybody gets to dress up. So it's a lot of characters, you know, people wear, like, it's just a day that everybody dresses up. So you could do more mischievous things because your identity is hidden, you know, versus on a regular day where if you did come outside in a Bill Clinton mask and a suit, everybody's going to look at you like, okay, suspicious, like, what's wrong with this person, you know? So Halloween is kind of one of the nights that people tend to act up because, you know, they can get away with it. Just like, I believe on the 4th of July, you know, a lot of people, they like to bust guns because sometimes people can't tell the difference between a firecracker and a gunshot. Some can, some can't. But with that being said, I have some more topics and some more questions that I want to ask. But you know me, Black, we got to go pay some bills. And time be ticking. You're definitely tuning into All Vibes Radio. Like I always say, call us up, 347-857-4302. We got Angel Love Tweets, a.k.a. Boss Vibes. We got Brooklyn Black. He holds it down pregame radio Fridays and Saturdays. He helps us out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, Black, whenever you're ready, and can you please play something that, you know, even though I'm sick, I can rock to?
You can rock to nothing, you're sick.
No, I can rock a little bit. Nothing too heavy because my head is definitely pounding, but not, I can feel it in the air.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybach music.
Money over everything. Self-made. But right now, shout it. You looking like money. I'm talking about real money. Huh?
Maybach music.
Yeah. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. She got me caught up in the moment.
Got me caught up in the moment.
She got me caught up in the moment.
Got me caught up in the moment.
I only kiss her when she on it.
Fuck
her good, make her call me in the moment. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me.
Yeah, temporary forever. Never say what a nigga. I can teach you till you hate me, but you hate them navel kisses. We can do like eight positions. Hit it till your makeup missing. Baby girl, my stroke official. And you know I paint that picture, hoes on my line. Most of them nine. Couple of them down, but all my hoes is hard to find. And I ain't always on the prowl. It's just my soul to mix it brown. Got me quite open for a while. So let me in or let me out. And I like my marijuana bright. And I like my window tinted out. Shout out them strippers who hustle. Get yours, you know what this about. I just might throw a big amount. Don't know if I'm supposed to take you out. I just know that I'm supposed to praise you up. Don't mean I ain't supposed to take you down. Bird up.
My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me.
My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. Every time she fuck me, she say, can I have some money? And I say, can I get a threesome? She say, boy, you funny. But I be like, for real, just pick up that phone, call one of your girls when I'm on that pill and I pop that purr. Girl, I put in that work. Long as she come to me first, it's 14 racks. What I put on that purse, that Birkin bag. Make her old dude mad when I merge through passing that dark blue jacket. She like my style, but I talk too fast. And I got that drive, and she just might crash. Hold up. She say she fucking with me the long way. She gon' ride the stick, I had a long day. Nigga, look at my bitch, she looking the wrong way. Something mean, look exactly just like the song say.
My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. That bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let her count it for me. I fuck her good and she always ride it for me. She got me caught up in the moment.
Got me caught up in the moment.
She got me caught up in the moment.
Got me caught up in the moment.
I only kiss her when she on it.
Fuck
her good, make her call me in the moment.
Maybach music.
Yes, yes, y'all. Definitely rocking out on All Barbs Radio. And I love that song, but it'd be so funny when guys be talking about look at my bitch, you bad, looking like a bag of money. And not everybody else that looks at her feels the same way. Bella is the same way. She looks more like a roll of quarters, if anything. And I know a lot of dudes that, you know, big up, shout out, always, always make your girl feel good, but, you know, be honest and be truthful. You know, I think people that over-exaggerate shouldn't do that because it can lead to problems down the road. But I have a couple of questions that a couple of people sent me over the break, which I was happy to receive. And and I guess it's pertaining to the topic that we learned about young kids, and they want to know if I believe that the school system, if they should actually, is it the school system's fault a lot of times that these kids be getting so hurt in school because of lack of, you know, lack of security in certain schools? And I want to say, sometimes I do believe that, because, you know, when we as parents, when we do send our kids to school, you know, we trust that they're in a safe environment, they're in a safe place, and, you know, if anything happens, it can be documented, it can be recorded, it can, you know, somebody can actually have something to say or things to go by off of. I do sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's just the kids too, because, like I said again, you have some kids that, you know, get rowdy off of, that's just them and that's what they know, and they start going ham, and it's a whole bunch of kids, and sometimes you do have school officials that do try to jump in and stay, but end up getting hurt and physically being, you know, harmed and not being able to kind of work for a couple of weeks due to an injury off of getting involved with somebody else's kids in a brawl. So I want to pass that over to Angel. How do you feel about that? Do you think that in school systems today that there's lack of security? That's why a lot of our kids, you know, are fighting in school. They wait till they get to school to have it out with somebody, or just, you know, in general.
Well, first I'm going to have to defend the school system and say that a lot of times if you're not employed by the school system, you really don't know the ins and the outs of what your ability to, you know, is to do in situations like that. Because nowadays, if you even touch a child in the wrong way, like, your career can be ruined, you can go to jail. It's just so many ins and outs on that situation, where so a lot of teachers who have been to school, who have invested in their degree and in their education, don't want to get involved because they don't want that to be the thing that puts them out of commission and keeps them from working. So we have to take that into consideration. You know, when kids are being sent to school, these are not kids from when I was growing up. These are kids who half of them probably have kids by now. They've done so much. They're not the same. So, like you said, you have teachers who are afraid to step in because they're going to get attacked by the parent or by, you know, the students themselves. I witnessed it myself. I went to baby school last weekend to watch her have her first pep rally, and I was just appalled by the fifth graders and the fourth graders. I was just like, no, I can't deal with this. I'm glad I teach preschoolers, because they were cursing, they were grabbing each other by the neck, and their particular teachers were so, like, afraid to tell them stop, to get involved, you know, because, like I said, a lot of times these kids are bigger now. These kids are well-developed, you know, they have muscles, they're stronger, their mentality, they don't really care, they're growing up with the wrong type of parents. So you have to understand that a lot of times school systems don't even have the funding to even bring in the extra help. Again,
right.
You know, like I said, if you don't know those things, it's really easy to put blame on the person who's actually trying to help your child instead of saying, no, it comes from the home first. So, no, I don't think that it's a school responsibility to stop fights. No, it's a parent's responsibility to be active within the school to make sure that their presence is being said, like, this is my child, you know, I'm being an effective role model to my child and possibly to another child who may not have that, because the teachers can't do it all. They can't teach and be your parent. It's not possible. And a lot of times teachers that do that get themselves in a whole lot more trouble. So a lot of the good teachers are afraid. They won't get involved. They'll turn the other cheek if it's not directly dealing with something that they can handle at that time. And like I said, with this generation, you cannot blame them. No, the parents need to take responsibility and how they raise their children at home, so that when they step outside of the boundary, you know, the boundaries of their parents, they don't have to worry about that.
Right. I totally agree. And before I pass over to Black, just like you said about, you know, the school system, just like, you know, I'm studying to further my career in, you know, the medical field, and just
you know, going over what I've completed so far, the ones, like you said again, you know, dealing with people, you, in those type of fields and jobs, like, when things like that happen, your job, like, really be on the line, because, like you said again, as a nurse assistant, or being anything in a medical field, the one thing you do not want on your rap sheet or any of your, you know, paperwork or anything is the word abuse. You know what I'm saying? Yes, there's a difference between restraining and actually abuse in certain situations as far as in the medical field and in the school field. But, you know, I definitely do agree with what you're saying. But sometimes, you know, you do have schools that are known, you know, that are always written up for bad situations, things happening. So I believe those schools that are on the list of top 10 worst high schools, elementary schools, junior high schools, they should have more enforcement because, yes, like I said, the bathroom brawl that I've seen on this YouTube clip, like, if there was probably a guard in the hallway or somewhere near, or, you know, maybe this was during class time where nobody was in the halls and the guards already did their sweep and they checked the floor and it was cool. But this girl could have died. You know, she was a beat up, really, blood everywhere, you know, leaking and just laying there helplessly. And I'm pretty sure the amount of cheers and raging and yelling and screaming and laughing, you know, somebody could have came in and kind of, if not jump in, but kind of broke it up or, you know, scared, especially when kids, sometimes when they see officials or something, they don't want to get in too much trouble, then they're already probably in, so they'll back off. They'll run. They'll flee the scene or whatever. But, you know, I went to a high school where they were, like, there was so many times, like, my school was getting ambushed, like, by the students, like, versus faculty. Or I've been involved in riots. Like, now when security is called, it's actually like NYPD SWAT, because it's all these kids are outrageously just jumping on this, fighting. It's too much. It's too hectic for any security guard, any principal, any teacher to break up. So now they need actual force. But I do agree with you when you say sometimes, you know, it's hard to kind of blame the school system if you're not working for the school system, because, like you said again, and a kid can say, so-and-so touched me or grabbed me the wrong way, and now because of that, that child is saying that, you know, you hurt them and there's a bruise, there's a mark. You're going down and over trying to break up something that probably, you know, would have settled down or somebody else could have came in and did. But, Black, how do you feel about that question that one of my actually, shout out to at Miss Vanilla, who sent me that question. How do you feel about that, Black?
It's a definite, and I'm saying that's definitely the case. You know, you really can't, you know, as teachers and me coming from, because, you know, I got a sister who works for ETA, I got a sister who works for ACS, you know, they gave too much power, you know what I'm saying, to the kids. You know, and I may be looked at as a villain for saying it, but, you know, yo, kids need that ass beat. You know, and now that we gave the kids all this power, oh, they hit you, call us. You know, so like Andrew said, yo, we, you know, us as adults, you know what I'm saying, we're scared to chastise our kids because, one, we don't want to go to jail, you know what I'm saying, and we don't want to have no other bullshit on our records, especially if we're a teacher or anything like that. You know, but brass tacks, kids need their ass beat. You know, like, they get out. I'm not saying, you know, come home and beat them bloody every day when you come home from work. Nah. I mean, you know, if they get out of line, you know, because sometimes a stern talking to doesn't work. Taking their stuff doesn't work. And, you know, you got to, you know, take your belt, bring them over your knee and go up and hit them a couple times. Like, that's just how it is. That's how I was brought up, you know. And I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty stand up, and I have my head on straight. You know, like I said, I'm not saying go and beat the hell out of your kids every day because they spill juice. Kids are gonna spill juice, but you got to be more selective with it, and we got to stop giving kids the power because now you still have the power, and it's literally backing down the adults.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's so funny, though, and I agree with you because sometimes, like, that's how I was brought up, too. Like, you know, not only was I brought up also, like, I wasn't a really bad individual. Like, I wasn't one of those kids who just was always into shit. That wasn't me. When I got older and started, you know, going to high school and junior high and just seeing how other people act and more so finding myself, you know, I engaged in certain activities that I wasn't supposed to. And yes, there were consequences. You know what I mean? Yes, I've gotten my ass beat. And I've also been in the era where, you know, my mother didn't always have to beat me. She punished me by taking away things that I valued the most because she knew that, like, those things would, she didn't have to touch me, but she knew that that would touch my heart because those are things that I really like and I can't utilize them, I can't play with them, I can't touch them. So now here's your punishment. And, you know, there's a lot of people now in today's society, especially 2012, that will recommend parents not to beat their kids only because of things like, yes, ACS cases. They feel, you know, I've known a lot of parents to feel like, you know, beating my kid, yeah, that's what I was raised upon, but it only made me to be angry this or, you know, honestly, sometimes, like, I really didn't know what that was about. Like, it didn't solve anything for me. It just only made me resent my parents more at that time. So, I mean, you know, however you handle the situation, you know, I'm with Black. Like, I agree with a good ass whipping every now and then to let your child know you're not playing. This is not a joke. This is not anything, excuse me, this is not anything, like, this is nothing to take lightly. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm big on embarrassment. You know, I don't like embarrassing my child, and I don't like for my child to embarrass me. So, you know, we do have conversations about this, you know, about embarrassing and what it means and how she can embarrass me and how I can embarrass her. And when I tell her the things that I can do to embarrass her, you know, she's like, oh, that's not nice. And it really isn't. She's like, why would you do that to me? And I'm like, because that would embarrass you. You know what I mean? Like, my daughter, she, I don't know what came over her, but one morning she didn't want to brush her teeth. She did, but she wanted to be really lazy as far as, like, I don't want toothpaste. I just want, like, I just put the, let me just run the water, the brush underneath the water, like that. And I'm like, excuse me? Every night and day you brush your teeth. You know the technique for brushing your teeth. You know the tools that you need to use to brush your teeth. I said, you just woke up, so your breath stinks. You know, you have everything that you, from yesterday, that you, on your breath, in your mouth. Your mouth, it doesn't smell fresh. And if you don't, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to get upset. But if you don't brush your teeth, by the time you have to go to school, you're going to go to school without brushing your teeth. And then I'm going to let your principal know and your teacher know and everybody in classroom know, don't talk to you because your mouth stinks and you didn't want to brush your teeth this morning.
Man, that's just harsh.
And she's like, oh, no. And she just was like, no. So she ended up brushing her teeth. But, I mean, you know, just little different things, you know, you can talk to your kids about, you know, let them know, like, look, you know, you may, not everybody's going to probably look like you or have the things that you have, but that doesn't mean that you go around, you make others feel bad or you hit somebody or you taunt somebody. Because, right, it may not always be your kid. That starts. It can be somebody else that scopes your child out. Notices your child. Your child might be that one to be, you know, likable, sociable, liked by almost everybody. Then it's that one person that hates that one kid that hates that. And you start studying with your kid, and you taught them, like, do turn the other cheek. Do not do anything. You know, and then it's like one day your child comes home and your child looks like Rihanna after getting beat up by Chris Brown, and you're like, but Angel, how do you feel about, before I get to the next question really quickly, how do you feel about beating, you know, like, giving your kids, like, ass whoopings when they are?
Well, I've never had an ass whooping, so If I beat my children, it's really to, like, the rare extremity. A lot of times with my kids, I do the consequential type thing. Well, this is what you want to do. This is what's going to happen. And I follow it through. With those type of situations, you have to just be strong and follow it through. Like you said, you know, with taking things away, a lot of times with these kind of kids, they substitute a lot. So what I tend to do, if this is what you really want to do, then you have to do this or that, the third. I'm a mature type parent. If Bambi's having a great week, you know, and she does her choice, she gets rewarded. If she acts out, her reward lessens, you know, because kids, in my opinion, kids have to understand that everything you do have a consequence. And sometimes with beating, some kids will take the ass whooping and still get what they want to get. You know, so I don't raise my kids like that. I raise my kids that in the real world, you have to own up and man up what you did. So if you don't want to, let's say, the brushing teeth situation, because I've had DJ do that all the time. Okay, well, you don't have to brush your teeth right now, but in 5 minutes we're going to brush our teeth because you have no other option. You have no other option. And if you fight with me, you know, then, like you said, like, my kids are really open. They'll tell each other, your breath stinks. Your breath stays, did you just pass gas? You stink. Like, you know, and it sounds rude, but I'm teaching them to be open and to be honest, you know, because at the end of the day, that's how it should be. So when things like that occur, you know, I just stick with that. Like I said, if I beat my child, it's because it's really rare and it's something like they really agitated me and I'm like, I can't do anything else. And listening to your kids, because sometimes the reason why they're acting out is because you're not listening to them. I do that with my kids. I let them actually talk and I listen. Parenting involves listening. Like you said about the kid treating, you know, beating up the child and looking like Rihanna. If you listen to your kids, not just them and okay, all right, but actually listen to them, then you can prevent a lot of things from happening. Case point scenario, Bambi has a little boy in her class that she's friends with outside the neighborhood. He likes to get her in trouble when she doesn't play with him. But because I know that when things happen, I don't punish her. Because I already know what's going on. Like, I witnessed it myself, you know. But what I do is I ask her what happened so that she can learn how to verbalize herself and to tell me and build that trust factor that, you know, that a parent and a child should have. So, I mean, I agree. If you feel like beating your child's ass, beat their ass. But a lot of times, sometimes doing other methods works because I've known people that I'm friends with, they got their ass beat, and that has no effect on them. They still got to do what they want to do. They still did what they wanted to do. They just took the ass whooping and still went outside or took the ass whooping and still got their
job.
Right,
whatever the case may be,
didn't affect them. But whatever works for you as a parent, stick to it and see it through all the way because, again, you know, it starts at home, and we have to be responsible for our own kids because at the end of the day, we created them, you know. So beat your kids, don't beat your kids. I don't care. Just teach yourself respect so that they can be able to be around my child and I don't have to act out when my baby comes home and is telling me no crazy stuff is going on.
Exactly.
Because
you know there's the parents that, you know, teach your kids the right way, but when they do come home and they see that the kid, you know, because, you know, they taught them, like, you know, turn the other cheek, don't fight back. They come home and their kid, like, messed up and they're like, damn, and it makes them want to go outside and beat the kid up themselves because they mess with their baby. You know what I mean? And you not go around beating up other people's kids, y'all. Like, you definitely get in trouble for it. You cannot know that your child don't, you know, if your child's not a fighter, if, you know, your child's not a fighter. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get upset behind that because your child is the one who doesn't want to fight back, even though you do tell them to fight back. That's just not their nature. That's just not them. You cannot then push your kid to the side and say, I got this, roll up your sleeve, and I want to fight a kid. You cannot do that. You definitely get in trouble. Also, too, no, because when you were going to say something, Angel?
I'm laughing because, you know, I've seen it. I've seen parents try to fight kids, you know. I've seen it. But, again, it goes back to, like, the home training because I'd be damned if a 17-year-old little girl is going to put her hands on my child, like, and I'm not going to say nothing to her, you know, and I'd be damned if she stepped to me like a grown woman
after about a certain number of warnings, you know, you might forget that you're 17 years old.
You are funny.
It happens. It happens. Like, it happens. But, again, it's all about home training. A 17-year-old young woman should not be presenting herself to the fact that she's coming at a grown woman like she's a grown woman. You know, and as parents, you got to teach your children that what you dish out is what the hell you're going to get back in. So if you're going to step to a person like you've grown, be prepared to catch that ass whooping if you get it. Now, after she catches that ass whooping, in my opinion, the parent needs to step in and do what they need to do to control the situation. But sometimes, some of these young kids need to understand that, you know, you want to act like you're grown. All right, we'll step into a grown person's zone and let's see what you can do. Because, again, you got a lot of kids walking around here 14 with guns. You got a lot of kids walking around here with knives in their hair. You know, it's just ridiculous.
But if my child comes home, right, and even though she was mouthy, you know, and my child is me, a mini version of me and mini version of her father. And so, yeah, like, you know, she has a mouth now. So this is why in school when I do go to pick her up and it's just like, okay, I go in her classroom, she's not there. So I'm like, well, where is she? She's in the principal's office. Like, I got to take that deep breath, but I know my child. So when I hear things like she was talking back or she didn't, blah, 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 I understand that and I know I listen. I also listen to both sides of the story. But if she came home and she mouthed off to another person's parent and she was 17 years old and she came home and she told me that the mother beat her up and now me as a parent, I got to step in. You think I'm going to talk to this parent or you think I'm going to want to slap her up a few times, drag her, rag her, and then be like, look, so-and-so-and-so about the kids. Because,
exactly.
Because I tell you one thing, yes, you know, parents too, like, you should know your kid. You should know your kid. That's why it's so important to be in tune, be involved, because a lot of times, you know, kids, they're manipulative. Once they know they can get away with a certain thing or they see it, they learn certain things from other kids, like how to lie really good and, you know, things. You got to be involved because, you know, I've had a situation where my daughter complained about, you know, an adult in her school, you know, hurting her when she touches her. And, you know, like I said again, I know my child. But like I told the teacher, the person, like I said again, like when my child comes home and tells me things like this, yes, I do know that she's very exaggerative and she likes to exaggerate a lot. But that's something I have to believe until we all sit down.
Exactly.
And, you know what I mean? And talk about it, put it out there because I'm not there with her. Yes, she's at the age where, you know, she likes to make up stuff and, you know, but you know, you also just got to be able to know your kids. And like I said, again, like I asked my child many times because I know sometimes as teacher, like you said, again, touching the kids, you can lose your job. But I do know sometimes, like, you know, they're trying to get these little ones, 4-year-old, maybe they want to get them in line correctly or straight. So they might have to move one into the line or rearrange one person. So it might consist of me having to switch, swap, and I got to, you know, move around my child and another child. And, you know, if the child says, like, things like, you know, this person hurts me when she touches me, that's something that you don't ignore either.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ignore. But I'll be banned. And also, too, another question is, do you think that when it comes to young teenage women, that the way that they dress and the way that they act and the high rate for teen pregnancy goes to show how much the parents play a role in the kids' lives and today. And I shout out to @couture212. Shout out to you. Sometimes, yeah, because if your child is young and she's still living here, she's still living, or, well, she rather, because it's directed towards a young female, if they're still living with you, you have the, you see what they wear. So if they're leaving your house and they might, it might be a busty, curvaceous 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and they have on like really low cut top and, you know, their back is out or whatever, like, I believe, like, you have a say-so. You know, you have the right to say something as a parent. I don't like how that looks, so I don't, it's showing too much. Like, I don't see what parent won't address their kid, especially if they don't like something that they have on. You know what I mean? And being, because she says here, I have a 16-year-old that likes to wear things really, really, really extremely tight. It's, you know, it has a lot in certain areas. And I noticed, you know, the way that she talks and when we are out in public, how other people, how other, you know, men look at her and the remarks or the stares. Is it something that I'm doing wrong? I just say that you should basically, your child is with you. And if she has something that you don't like, point blank period, it's either you take it off or you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know when we all, you know, fashion and nowadays, like, things are being made to where they're supposed to be skin tight. They're supposed to be, you know, they, you know, less thread, less money, you got to dish out for certain clothing to be made, so it just is less. And, you know, you, like I said again, you could be 16, but you could be built like a 24-year-old, so that means that you have to shop now.
Mm-hmm.
In the grown woman section, and, you know, certain things are cut certain way because they're really meant for a grown woman, but you fit that. Yeah. Angel, what you think about that? I do believe because there's no way in hell I'm going to walk down the street with my 16-year-old daughter and I'm watching other guys or other young boys look at her, smile, stare. I mean, it's going to be expected, especially if you blossom a beautiful young woman, but
mm-hmm.
also, like, not even that, though, also because of her outfit for today. Or because, you know, she chooses to put on makeup, excessive makeup. Because I see a lot of young girls, like, with red lipstick on. But then I notice that they have a book bag on their back, and they have a high school or junior high school ID.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, again, it goes back to communication with your child. Being a parent is always going to be you against the world when it comes to parenting your child. But in my opinion, I feel like if you start young with having an understanding of being able to communicate, a lot of those issues you won't have when they be 15, they become 16, they become 17, because they'll feel a lot more open to conversate with you about items and they'll respect your judgment. Of course, you don't want to be shrewd and you don't want to be the parent that, you know, doesn't want your child to be up on the fashion and things of that nature. But in my opinion, even with my daughter, like, it's a lot of things that she likes and we negotiate, you know, and I work on that now so that when she becomes a teenager, it's not as hard for her to trust my judgment as a mother. A lot of times with a lot of these young ladies, it's a self-esteem issue as well. They feel like they have to look like another person so that they can feel a certain way. All those are characteristics that should be instilled in them as a child. So, like, I know Nikki says it all the time, and I say it all the time about my kids. I'm their number one fan. I bless my kids all day long. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You. You're handsome. You're number one. You're
yep.
this, you're
I
that.
Love
I get my
you.
Kids consistently. Exactly. I love you so much. You know, and a lot of times with kids, even when they're teenagers, they need that. Because I know sometimes Bambi will say, well, Mommy, such and such didn't like my picture. And I'll say, well, you know what? I loved your picture. And as long as you like it, it doesn't matter if anybody else likes it. Those little things like that when they're young plays a very important factor when they get into young adulthood.
It sticks, believe it or not. It's with them. It really does when they get older. You know what I'm saying? It really
mm-hmm.
does stick when you do say things like that. Because Madison says, you know, she'll come home and she'll be like, okay, well, this person didn't want to play with me today. And I noticed that Madison is one to, you know, she, I don't know why, but she, once in the stage right now, she wants everybody to like her. And it's like, I always tell her, they're not going to always like you. But she'll come home and like, Chloe doesn't want to play with me today, and I'm not going to talk to her tomorrow. You know, it's just like, okay, well, Madison, today maybe Chloe just didn't feel like playing with you. You know, just talk to them. Talk to them, babe. Damn. We are definitely out of time. It's 10 o'clock already. And shout out to everybody that was listening. Thank you. Definitely appreciate you. Shout out to everybody
that, like I always say, that supports the All Bars movement. Shout out to the interviewee for today at Modish Styles. Make sure y'all go follow her. Please do, and check out, you know, check out her new arrivals. Check them out. Check them out. Follow her on Instagram. You know, good prices. And just, I'm getting ready to get on it as soon as I come off air and figure out what she got going on. And definitely when she do get some men pieces, like, I hope you know, I hope she lets you know. Shout out again to Angel Loves Tweets, Boys Vibes, holding it down, putting the whole All Bars movement together, you know, supporting and encouraging everybody and always being there to make herself available to everyone and what they got going on. And shout out to Black for always holding it down, pushing buttons and, you know, giving his input on everything. And just the Barbs, like, keep doing what you're doing. We are here. Like, I see you. Angel sees you. You know, the promoters, we got your backs as well. Keep promoting us. And like I always say, don't give a fuck about what anybody has to say about what you are doing, what you got going on, especially if it's not, you know, affecting anybody else. And if it's benefiting you and yours, do you. You only have one life to live. Life is too short. Make the best of it. And parents, please stay involved with your kids. I will definitely be talking about more things about Halloween as time approaches. A couple of also cool things you can do with your kids on Halloween. And good night. And yes, hopefully by next time you guys tune in, I will be feeling a lot better. So I'm definitely getting myself prepared because I do have to work and everything else. But good night. Mwah.
This is your girl at Angel Love Sweet, a.k.a. Boss Barbs, also formerly known as Miss Angel Love. Just saying, keep the squares out your circle. Continue to network. Keep in touch with me. Keep in touch with Nikki and Brooklyn Black. We're hitting areas all over. If you need some information for that area, hit them up. The DMV, hit me up. And have a great night. See you next Tuesday. Mwah.
Hey, I already know, fellas, don't be a fool, wrap your tool. Ladies, don't fall for the scam, protect your clam, a lot of love, don't drink and drive. And, you know, see y'all in the next go-round. And you guys be safe, have a good night. Once again, rest in peace, Chris Lighty, we out.
Initiating shutdown sequence.